Praise the Lord, let's all stand. Let's sing that little chorus she's playing. Jesus, Jesus, amen. Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you this night, Lord, we appreciate the opportunity.
Yes.
Lord, we respect and we love and appreciate everything you've done for us, Lord. Lord, and we want to lift your name up before you, O God, for all you've done for us.
Yes.
Lord, so undeserving, Lord. Lord, sometimes we feel like we don't deserve anything you give us. Lord, that's why we appreciate you. Lord, you look past all our faults and saw our needs, Lord. We love and appreciate you this night. We ask you everything be done and said for your glory. And we'll give you all the glory and praise and honor due unto you. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Yes.
Amen. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after six in the capstone books. I'm sorry, it's the wrong one. Page 4. So much to thank him for. Amen. When I look around and see the good things he does for me, I'm unworthy of them all, and his blessing he freely gives. I owe my life to him. I've got so much to thank him for.
I've got so much to thank you for, so much to praise him for me. Has been so good to me, amen. And when I think of all he's done and where he's brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for. And I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for me. Has been so good to me, amen. And when I think of all he's done and where he's brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for. And sometimes while on my way I kneel and I stop and say, Lord, thank you for all you've done for me. And when one day when I reach heaven's shore, oh please let me kneel once more. I've got so much to thank him for. And I've got so much to thank him for. Hallelujah. Amen. Has been so good to me, and when I think of what he's done and where he's brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for. And I've got so much to thank him for. Praise you for he has been so good to me. And when I think of all he's done and where he brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Glory, hallelujah. How we have repaid. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to turn to page 20. Same book. In Christ alone. Amen.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, burned through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When fears are still, when striving cease, my comfort, my Christ alone. Amen. My hope is found. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. No guilt in life. No fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. Hallelujah. Amen. No man's going to change that. Amen. No power of hell. No scheme of man can never pluck me from his hand. Amen. Ain't you so thankful? Amen. Till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand. Amen. His resurrection. Amen. Love and appreciate him.
Yes, amen.
Amen. One more on page 26. Been on my heart. Amen. I won't walk without Jesus. Won't talk without him. Amen. Lord, help me to do that very thing. Amen. It used to be when I was sinning, Satan stood off somewhere grinning as the pleasures that he brought just turned on me. And teardrops came like then I heard my Savior calling, you can't go on anymore, just lean on me. And I won't walk without Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Without Jesus, I refuse to live one day. Just won't do without the Lord. A beggar lame at the gate just sitting, all his life he'd been regretting, cause he never stood or walked down the street. Then Peter and John happened by his way, look on day as before. No, I just won't do. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Oh, I won't walk. Amen. You mean it? Hallelujah. Without Jesus, I refuse to live one day. Was burning in our hearts every day. Amen. Just think how far we would get with Him. I won't walk without Him. I won't talk without Him. I refuse to live one day as before. Amen. Think of the desire and this drive you have to have. Amen. With His help. I won't go without Jesus. Hallelujah. If you carried Him everywhere you went, there would be no trouble. Amen. Hallelujah. Just ain't so without Him. Everything that I would do from here on out, I just won't do without the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I won't walk without Jesus. I won't talk. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. To live one day as before. Oh, I won't go without Jesus. Hallelujah. Be our greatest desire. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Just appreciate Him and love Him. We're always done. There's no words to explain it. There's no tongue can tell. Amen. Just give Him your life. Amen. Yes. Just show Him you really mean it from the bottom of your heart.
The name of the Lord.
Amen. Do everything with a passion. Sing with a passion. Yes. Praise Him with a passion.
Yes.
Listen to the word with a passion.
Yes.
Everything you do, you just won't do without Him.
Amen.
Amen. Everything will be all right. Amen.
Yes.
Brother Amos, would you take up the offering this evening?
Praise God.
Amen. Glory. Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, truly we are so thankful.
Thank you, Lord.
For this opportunity you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the service thus far, for these precious songs of revelation, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit with us this night, Lord. We are so grateful, Lord. We thank you so much.
Yes.
Lord, we just ask that you have your preeminence for the remainder of the service. Lord, as your word comes forth, let our hearts and minds be open to receive the portion you have for us, Lord. May it find that good ground in our hearts. Lord, as we come to this portion once more, we ask that you'll bless this offering, Lord. I ask that we use for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. We ask it in thy precious holy name, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. He is everything. He is everything to me.
Yes, He is.
He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything, He's everything to me. He's my mother, my mother, my sister and my brother. He's everything to me. Amen. Oh, He's everything to me. He's everything, He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister and my brother. He's everything to me. Amen. Their hand.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Let's keep it before him as we ask Brother Settles if you'd take the request.
Heavenly Father, Lord,
yes.
So privileged, the Father, to be able to
Amen.
Rise in the morning, Lord. Lord, have a day set aside that we can, Lord,
oh,
come together,
you, Lord. Yes.
Fellowship one with another, draw
yes.
strength from another.
Yes.
Lord, and most of all, to hear you speak.
Amen.
Lord, Lord yes. with anticipation, we long for your word.
Yes.
Lord, grant us revelation is our prayer.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I know that's the foremost desire of
yes.
everyone's heart tonight. But Lord, also there's aches and ails in the bodies, Father.
Yes.
Lord, some may be hindering us from, Lord, walking with you, giving our whole life to you.
Yes.
Lord, we pray, Father, that you just look down.
Amen.
Touch every heart, every
yes.
need, Lord.
Right.
Lord, just meet the need, heal, Lord, supply,
yes.
whatever it may be, Lord,
yes.
with your glory and honor. We
Thank
ask this
Jesus.
In your precious holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Grant it, Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Gracious.
Yes, the girls have a song. We ask you to come. Let's try to sing that little chorus, if you don't mind. And try. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my plans are forgiven. I've been washed in the blood. Amen. Let's stand and sing it again. Oh,
glad you can say that with a reality. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's take it up a key. Amen. All my hope is in Jesus. Yes, it is. God, my yesterday's gone. Appreciate you, Lord. Amen. Oh, how great He is. Amen. To know with a reality. All my hope's in Him. Amen. And what He has done for me. Glory to His name. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, we are truly grateful to be here this evening. And Lord, we've just come as a hungry little people, Lord, and asking you to speak to our hearts in a little special way, Lord. Of these things that you've laid upon my heart, Lord, though we've read them and it's simple, but Lord, your word is inspired. And Lord, if we just humbly open up our hearts, Lord, each and every one of us, Lord, you know what we have need of. And Lord, you'll just dip it down in there. And Lord, may it help us. Whoever, Lord, wherever it would help, that we would grow closer to you, Lord, and draw strength from you. And Lord, may it just increase our faith, Lord, with you, our walk with you, Lord, to draw closer and to keep pressing on, Lord. The end is in sight, Lord. Let's keep pressing the battle. And Lord, we ask that you would bless your word to our hearts now, Lord. Just don't let me say or speak anything, Lord, that would be out of line, but Lord, just let me read your word the way that you put it. And Lord, may it help us in that way, we pray. And we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor for it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All my saints, all my hope is in Jesus. Amen. You know, earthly friends let you down. And there's times when maybe your best friend couldn't do what you needed done. But Jesus is there all the time. Amen. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus has set me free. Amen. While you're standing, if you'd like to turn your Bibles, just for a little exhortation, let's turn over here to Galatians, the first chapter. Amen. Very familiar scriptures, just praying that some way to encourage us. Amen. As we're walking the last mile of the way. But in Galatians 1, and begin there at the 8th verse, Paul speaking, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye, than we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. May God bless you. These words, you may be seated. I just like Paul's boldness in the way that he knew with an assurance of what God had spoke through him, and how that as we see as Christians our foundation laid out before us. And if you turn with me to Acts, the 20th verse, Paul also speaking here. Amen. Acts, the 20th chapter, 20th chapter in the 17th verse, the book of Acts. Amen. And from he's talking about Paul. He said, and from he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord in all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by lying in the weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. But take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember, that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. And how, when you look at Paul, his kind of his testimony and his departure, and we think about it, and there's many texts that we could go on, but tonight I just want you to think about that, how Paul was just warning the church at this point. And how he had said, you know my manner of life. You've seen how I've been with you. You've seen all there is about me. And my humility, you've seen the life that's been lived through me, and you know what I've preached unto you. And how that, let that be your example, and hold fast. In other places he said, hold fast to the faith. Hold just the possession of your faith steadfast. And how we can see Paul, and we see that example as he left, and the word was laying there. And oh my, we see how things, the grievous wolves did enter in after his departure. And we see how things begin to fall apart and take place. And you know, but God sent us a prophet in this last age. And oh my, we can see the same thing done through his life. We see that the life that he lived, the humility, all of the actions of Jesus Christ that was in his life and in his heart. And how God used him mightily. Done mighty things, signs and wonders through his life, and to draw our attention to that precious word. And then as today we set, through that we set here today and call ourselves message believers. And we gather in this church following a message that was delivered. And that came, and we say we a prophet came, and he had brought a message, and he delivered it. But how that message has got to become more than just a message to us. It's got to become a living part of us, and a reality that it wasn't just a message, but it was God speaking to his bride. The same as Paul was laying forth all of this precious word, God was making sure that all of the instructions needed for a bride to be complete in this last day and come to that fullness of maturity, she was going to have all that she needed in place. And how God, we also know, as our brothers brought it to our attentions, how in Ephesians, how God gave gifts unto the church, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and how for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, till we all come into the unity of that faith, until the fullness of the stature of Christ. And how we see all of these working together. But then we also know that how Jesus warned us over in Matthew 24, if you want to read it. Amen with me. Just renewing our minds to these things. Matthew 24 and the 22nd verse. And except the days be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. This is Matthew 24, chapter 22nd verse. And except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch, if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And as we face this dark time, and we've had a lot of teaching on these things, so we're just preaching tonight. But just, I want you to recall this back to your remembrance and to hold it fast. And to remember these warnings that Brother Branham, look at Paul, Jesus Christ first here, give forth this warning. Paul came along and he gave forth the same warning. Brother Branham, when he was here, how he stressed this scripture and how he stressed what Paul said. And how we can see today that as we see it in all denominations, how that after where it started, it began to grow. As men began to get more and more involved, it began to loosen and go away and lose its importance. And how we can see that has happened today. All of us can see it. We're not blind. You don't need me to point it all out to you. We can see how each one, because they didn't want to take the fullness of the word here or the fullness of the word there, they went some other way. But how we've also been very well enlightened that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And how the Spirit, it's the genuine Holy Spirit anointing upon these false anointed ones at the end time. And how we see all of these things taking place and the great warnings that's went out. And as we know the cunningness of the devil, how we should have such a watchfulness in our hearts. And especially as we see that we know that little bride's going to be in the minority. And how we should be clinging more closely to this word. And it's not in numbers, as we begin to see maybe a lot of brothers over here in this area agreeing together on this certain subject, and over here brothers agree on this. But it's an individual affair. Amen. And God's called us as individuals. And he called me to this little place, and he gave me a pastor, and I sat here under my pastor. And as I sat here, I'm hearing the word for myself. But it's not as I sat here and I hear that word. I cannot leave this building with the attitude, I believe that because Brother DeLong says that's the way it is at our church. We've seen that happen, and we've seen actions of churches of how that takes place and how that draws people after this brother or after that brother. And we see it split and cause divisions. But Jesus Christ ever remains the same. He says, obey them to have the rule over you, following the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what we got to keep our eyes focused to in this last few moments of time. As we know God is going to do a work in the bride, we know that's going to happen. Don't you think Satan is going to try to raise up a bogus against it? And how much more mighty signs and wonders as we see and you said and you hear different ones minister and you hear different things said and how you can see the approach and where it's headed and how we need to make sure we stay focused on what Jesus Christ wants for us.
Amen.
And I'd like to, for an example, to back up here into the book of Kings, if you would, and read a little something here, Kings, the first Kings in the 22nd chapter, if you would. Hey, man, just to catch just a little nugget out of here. Amen. 1 Kings 22. We've got time. We'll just run down through the whole chapter there. Try to catch it. Starting about the third verse. And it came to pass in the third year of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, come down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. And then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Just think of that, 400 in unison, all right, off the bat. There was the answer. 400 people agreed together. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And we live in an age, saints, I want you to make sure you catch this, where the people do not want the correction of the word. They don't want word that shows them where their blackness lies. I think of Brother Smith, you know, when he was here ministering for us, and how he used to talk about when he was back in Pentecost, and they called him Sin-Killing Smith. And you know, it used to be that way. People preached against sin. They preached against drinking and smoking. That's the attributes of sin. And we understand that in this later age, God, by the understanding God has brought to us, we see that sin is truly just unbelief of God's word. But how people, the word don't go forth for correction, for a honing, for a chiseling, for a molding, a beating of the gold, to bring forth the likeness of Jesus Christ like it should, because people don't want that portion of the word, because it don't feel good. It doesn't make you want to rejoice sometimes. Sometimes it makes you want to go somewhere and cry and pray. But that's not what the feeling they want. They want to feel that jump and joyous time. And how they take that and that's what they begin to feed on. And then they begin to, it's no different than somebody liking ice cream really well. And oh, every time I get good and hungry, I just go get me a big old scoop of ice cream. It ain't going to take long for that to catch up with me. And the benefits of that to this body is going to really begin to show. And the lackness and the deficiencies that I would have. And that's the same way with the Word of God. It has all the vitamins and it has all of the minerals. But you've got to take all of the Word. Not a portion, not a piece we like. But we have to take it all. And it all together will bring us to the fullness of the stature of Christ. As he says here, he said, The king of Israel called an officer and said, Hasten hither, Micah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, set each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate to Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Shemaiah made him horns of iron, and he said, Thus saith the Lord, With these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. And all of the prophets prophesied so, saying, Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to call Micah spake unto him, saying, Behold now the words of the prophet, declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micah said, As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak.
Amen.
And oh my, what a day we need a people to be different. This ain't the day to join up with one big voice, but it's a day of soberness, a day of an individual affair, and a time of to look and seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yes, and he says, and Micah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. And so he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it unto the hand of the king. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw that the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fail at Ramoth-Gilead? And fall at Ramoth-Gilead. And one said to it this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? He said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him, and prevail also. Go forth and do so. And now therefore, behold, the Lord, having put a lying spirit in the mouth of all of these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah the son of Chinnah went near, and smote Micah on his cheek, and said, which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into the inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, take Micah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. And I want you to think about that, the steadfastness here, as he's one against 400. But look what he was holding to. But I want to read something Brother Branham said here in Modern Events Made Clear by Prophecy. And this was preached December 6th, 1965. Just a short little thing here. He says, but then the big bishop walked up and he slapped him in the mouth. Which way did the Spirit of God go? Because I know I had the Spirit. I danced in it. I'd done all of these things. See, I had the Spirit on me. Which way did it go? But see, Micah being a son of God or a real prophet of God, he examined his vision with the word. I want you to look at that. He could look back there. He'd done known what had been prophesied of Ahab. He already looked back there and he knew he couldn't go no further. The word of the Lord had already spoken. And I want you to, how often that is the case, if we would just look back into the word for every situation. We've come to a place, let me go on, he says, and he examined his vision with the word. If it wasn't the word, it's wrong. The word for that hour, see, he had said scripturally the land belonged to them, and the land was there scripturally. Everything to seem right, to be right, but one thing. Remember, it was one word that caused the whole mess to come to Eve. Disbelieved one word of God in the first of the Bible. One word caused the trouble. And Jesus come in the middle of the Bible and said, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And at the end of the Bible said, whosoever shall take one word out or add one word to it. It's not part of the gospel. The Methodists have part. The Baptists, the Presbyterians, and so forth, they had part. Catholic had part. And Jehovah Witness, all of the rest of them. But it's the whole word, all the word of the hour, what counts. And we'll never do it until God anoints a prophet that can stand and tell it and confirms him and prove it that it's right. It slips right through the people and they'll never know it, just like it's always been. But God sent that prophet to us. Amen. And we're living in a time where, you know, we kind of grew up in this day and age. They call it do's and don'ts. We call it, you know, we live by a rule, you know, you couldn't do this and you couldn't do that, so to speak, sometimes. To try to keep a people, back when we were younger, trying to make a young people look like Christians. But it all got to go back to one thing. And we should each be a people, even as you young people are growing up, and us middle-aged, us older ones, all of us here. We're not here to, well, my church believes it like this, but they're supposed to be a people coming to full age. Yeah. A people that can truly stand on their own two feet and say, God said, yeah. The word says, it's like this. When it says, why do you wear dresses? Why do you sisters wear dresses? What is modesty? It's our duty as individuals to go back into the Word and to search that out. As husbands and fathers, it's our duty to go back and make sure that we're watching our daughters as they dress and make sure we're looking. Amen. It's our obligation to be in coaching to them.
Yes,
not making it just, well, this is the way it is, but without an explanation. But with the Word of God beginning to show forth that as our young people come up, they can truly stand and say if they don't decide to do this certain thing that maybe the whole other group is doing. Why don't you participate? Because my church says I can't. No, but because Jesus Christ wouldn't be happy with me doing that. Amen. That's my revelation. That's the way I feel. Amen. Not my mommy and daddy says I can't do that. But I choose not to do that because... And that's the same way it ought to be with us as adults. Why don't you come over here to the ball game? Well, I don't go because I don't feel that's pleasing to the Lord. Do we take that explanation or do we still just use the old crutch? Well, you know, where I go to church, they kind of frown on that. But do we stand up? Do we have that in fortitude about us to look back into God's word and take our revelation that God has dipped into our heart? And to stand there on that word in this last age with a reality. I'm not leaning on somebody else's shirt tail, trying to go this other direction over here, but I can look back into the word and find my answers.
Amen.
And I can stand there knowing with a reality that I'm not following some man. I'm not following some creed or doctrine of a church, but I'm looking back to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of my faith.
Amen.
Looking back to see that, oh, in that precious word, I have found my answer for whatever stage I am in life.
Amen.
And be able to see that reality manifest back through me. Because
yes.
That is the only true evidence of having the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Is to receive the word for your day.
Yes.
And to get a clear understanding. And then it vindicates back through our life.
Amen.
Oh, my saints, we're living in a day where many people claim to have a revelation. But their life is not bearing forth the vindication of what they claim to believe. And that's the piece that we want to be sure
Amen.
That we're getting. Amen.
Yes.
But oh, how we should make sure we want to make sure we understand what we're doing, why we're doing it. Look back into the Word. It's not just a rule. It's not a regulation as we've heard it in the past because it was that. It was an iron rule. But this is God's Word, and that's what's ruling our hearts now. It's not the church says I don't do this and I don't do that. But oh, but when people see me, they shouldn't have to wonder why he does that. But they should see Jesus Christ being made manifest. And our lives should be able to, we should be able to pick up the Bible and defend what I'm doing in my life.
Amen.
And that should be able to be responsive to someone to see this is why they do that. Although there may be many, many others sitting around that don't agree with you. They think you're wrong. You've went too far. But if you can assure your own heart and know that before Jesus Christ, Lord, I know you're happy with this and this was my decision. It don't matter who agrees with me or who disagrees as long as I see it in the Word. Amen. And make sure it lines up. Brother Branham speaking here in the message, Beyond the Curtain of Time. And there was many different places he said things like this. But speaking of Paul and how he was sure and steadfast, that don't let nobody else teach you anything else than the doctrine that I've already given you. And Brother Branham speaking here in the message, Beyond the Curtain of Time, paragraph 49. This was preached March 5th, 1961. He said, the voice spoke to me, you know, it is written in the Bible that the prophets are gathered with their people. And I said, yes, I remember that in the scriptures. But these are not Branhams. The voice replied, there are not this many Branhams. And the voice replied, these are not Branhams. These are your converts, the ones you have led to the Lord. Some of these women you think are so young and beautiful were more than 90 years old when you led them to the Lord. No wonder they are crying out, my precious brother. And the multitude cried together, if you hadn't gone forth with the gospel, we wouldn't be here. And I asked, oh, where is Jesus? I want to see him. And the people replied, he's just a little higher. Someday he will come to you, and you were sent as a leader. And when God comes, he will judge you according to your teaching. I asked, does Paul and Peter have to stand this judgment also? And the answer was yes. I said, I have preached what they preached. and I did not divert from it to one side or to the other. Were they baptized in the name of Jesus? I did too. Were they taught the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I did too. Whatever they taught, I taught also. Oh my, look at the confidence he had. He was backing it back up to the scriptures. That what he had preached, he knew he could go back and look it up. But let's take it a little further here in this. This is in The Anointed Ones at the End Time, preached July 25th, 1965. And just listen to Brother Branham says it like this. Out into the land where this message is going, from east coast to west, and from California to New York, down into the south and up into the north, out into the missions, wherever it's going, in this tabernacle, we are poor. We don't have these great, big, flowery things in television cast. We're just trying to do the best we can. But all the Father has given me will come. And I want you to know this is sure. And you that listen to these tape, you might have thought today that I was trying to say that about myself, being that I was packing this message. I have no more to do with it than nothing. No more than just a voice. And my voice, even against my better judgment, I wanted to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father that I declare to do and am determined to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down on the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happens as perfect as they are. I'm only the one that's near when he does it. I was only a voice that he used to say it. And if it wasn't what I knew, it wasn't what I knew. It's what I just surrendered myself to that he spoke through. It isn't me. It wasn't the seventh angel. Oh, no, it was the manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the angel, his message. It was the mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man. It's God. The angel was not the Son of Man. He was a messenger from the Son of Man. And the Son of Man is Christ. He's the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words will fail. But you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Amen. And how it's got to go back, not just back. Well, Brother Branham said. Brother Branham said, that's why we do it like this. No, it's got to go deeper than that in our own hearts. It's got to be a reality. That I don't cut my hair as a young lady or as a sister, and I don't wear makeup, and I don't do all these things because why? I can go back in the scriptures and see where that started and where that end led to. Amen. I can go back and look at all these things as men. Our conversation should be holy, and how the places we go and the things that we do, how it should attract to the attention and be able to be backed up by this precious word and all that we do and say. But it's not that we want to be, as Brother Branham put it, we shouldn't be expressing the expression of some church. Nice. But it's the expression of Jesus Christ. Amen. And this is the day and age where I don't go to church because my mommy and daddy do. And I believe this because mom and dad do. But I do this because that's what God has revealed to me. Amen. As an individual. Yes. And it doesn't matter where we're at, young, old, or middle age, till we've come to that reality. That I'm just not following my pastor. I'm just not following this group of people at a certain church. But I'm following Jesus Christ and where he's led me. Amen. And I go where I know that I can feed, where that true carcass is gathered around the meat of the word. And truly getting filled and fed to where I can see that word taking my life and changing it. Amen. And I see as I hear that word, I'm becoming that word. Amen. And it's truly molding me and carrying me to his character. It's got to be that reality, saints. It's wonderful to hear all the wonderful things God has for us. It's wonderful to hear what's been prepared for us. And it's wonderful to know that I was in the thoughts of God. It's wonderful to know that he hung on a cross and shed his blood for my sins. But till it's a reality and a personal revelation to me that was my sins, that blood was shed for. He bore those stripes for my healing. Until I know that I was in the thoughts of God and I've been called for this purpose. And this is all I was called for, was to be a vessel that he could have the preeminence of in this last age. And that my life would be a reflection of him living forth that others could see. Not for myself to live, not for me to gain anything, but to only be here as he would have me be. Amen. Here in the, you sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Amen. This is in the message, Why Are People So Tossed About? Amen. In paragraph 71, our faith cannot rest upon nothing. A Christian is to have his faith, has to have a solid resting place. You know that? And the only resting place that a Christian, a true born-again Christian, can rest his faith or hers is upon the unmovable Word of God. It isn't built upon the shifting sands of man's theology and doctrines and upon some church affiliations. But a true believer, his faith rests solidly and unshifting as he approaches the Word of God. And I was saying somewhere, maybe here a few nights ago, I wanted to preach so bad. I preached to my wife in bed till 12 o'clock, just telling her how glorious Jesus was. And a text come in my heart, and it kept burning me so great till I just couldn't rest with it. And I said, honey, I want to preach to you a little while. And she roused up. By grace, she listened. And I said, the Christian faith is based solidly upon rest. That's right. A Christian is not tossed about. A Christian doesn't run from place to place. A Christian doesn't fuss and fume and worry about things. A Christian rests. It's all over. It's all finished for the believer at Calvary. That's right. Sickness may come and disappointments. But the Christian is at rest knowing this, that the God is able to keep that which he has performed. Knowing that no matter what thing is and how it looks, there is neither sickness, sorrow, death, there is neither starvation or anything that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And how that ought to be the desire of our hearts is, Lord, let me be that solid Christian that's at rest, growing, overcoming daily, as our brother's been speaking, seeing the results take place in my life and pulling me to that place in Christ Jesus. But oh, don't be satisfied and don't get caught up in a rut of a lot of that's going on around us. But be sure that you know where your faith is founded. And be sure you can line back up with the Word, where that's where our assurance comes from, is being able to look back into the Scriptures and see that I match everything that a Christian would be in this last day. Oh, saints, may we be able to grow and press harder than we ever have. We may be few here. We may not be many. But oh, if our light can only shine, that it could grab one here and grab one there, where they can see that you've got something they don't have. When they can see a reality come into your life, of that you're not living by a man's doctrine or a man's creed or by just all, this is what we do because we're message believers. But when you can truly show someone, Jesus wouldn't be happy with me. Jesus doesn't appreciate that. That's why I do that. Not because I'd get in trouble if I just straightened up the ends of my hair, I'd get in trouble with the church. That ain't why. But Jesus Christ is searching the heart. He knows us. He knows us all about us. And that's why he's drawn us here, each and every one of us. He's pulled us to this place. And he's dealing with each and every heart. Each one of us knows what we feel tugging on the inside of us. Maybe we haven't received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But if we're feeling that tug, it's there. And if you'll just reach out to him and let God have a hold and surrender to him, let God do the finishing work in your heart and in your life, and let your life be a torch that can be lit. Oh, my saints, may each and every one of us, old, middle-aged, it don't matter. May we really want our torches to be lit. Amen. You know, I've always said that in being a young man, you know, I've always thought, you know, I don't want to get old and, you know, I'd rather just die and pass off the scene rather than have to get old and be, you know, not be able to get around like I can now. But you know, as our brother was reading that this morning about Job, I thought about that again. Job sat on an ash heap with nothing. Not a reason to live. And scraped his boils. But yet he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. He was giving praise to his creator. It didn't matter if he didn't have nothing. It didn't matter how much bad health he had. And how it changes the way we think about things if we'll channel into God's word. And look at the way God thinks about it. Yes. You know, it's so easy for us to say things sometimes, and myself included. And that's why, as I say, we must begin to look closer at God's word. It's easy for me to take into consideration and just say, that's how I feel about that. But what did God's word say about it? And how does God feel about it? Amen. And if you take that back to a lot of things, it's easy, you know, to say, oh, I believe in capital punishment. I think it... But go back and see what God's word said about it. Go back and see how God feels about all of these things that as human beings we've adapted to just being over and over we've heard. And look at all of these things. Are we weighing everything we do and thinking about it that way? How does God really view this? And what's the result? Who gets the glory from what's going to happen after the fact? But oh my, may our lives be a true glory to Jesus Christ. Oh, may this precious word just mold us. It's just like honey, you know. It comes and it's corrective, as our brother was saying. It comes and it shaves. Sometimes it's not easy. But oh my, after you endure it, oh, how sweet and good it feels to know that you're standing there And you can stand there with that cleanliness around you and know you're standing there in the presence of the Lord. How much easier it is to raise your hand and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. How great you are, Lord. How I love you and I appreciate you. Lord, I can see that I haven't been what I should be, but by God's grace, you're going to get there, Lord. Oh, my, how this word ought to just be running all over us, saints.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand, if you would. Pray a little something was said to help each and every one of us.
Yes.
In a special way, just to keep pressing on, saints.
Oh,
we're too near home. Amen. Let's try to sing that little chorus, His Love is Higher Than the Mountain. Amen. It's just I don't think it's in the book. It's just a chorus. His love is higher than the mountain. Is that too high? Help me, Sister Heather. I know you know it. Amen. Higher than the mountain. His love is deeper than the sea. I pray to the Lord each day for a closer walk with Thee. It's more precious than silver. It's more precious than gold. The sweet love of Jesus makes me happy in my soul. Amen. His love is higher than the mountain. His love is deeper than the sea. I to the Lord each day for a closer walk with Thee. It's more precious than silver. It's more precious than sweet love of Jesus makes me happy in my soul. Amen. Oh, don't it make you happy? Amen. May the Lord richly bless you.
Amen. Say amen.
Amen
to His precious word. I just am so thankful for every word, every nugget. It'll be a strength and encouragement to me and cause a greater desire to press on more than ever. I'm just so appreciative of it. I'm sure you are too, because we're soon to make heaven our home. I can't wait. Oh my. And I just want everything God wants, and I want it just right in my life. Amen. I'm sure you do too. Amen. I love Him. Do you?
Amen.
Amen. God's been good to us and blessed us many ways. Let us bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, how glorious you are and how wonderful you are. Your ways are tremendous. Your love is overflowing. As the little psalm just said, deeper than the sea, higher than the highest height can possibly be. Even throughout the universe, wherever the stars go to, Lord, that our eyes cannot see. It's so amazing, Lord, that as smart as man is and the things that man has made, he still cannot find the end. It just keeps on going and going and going. He has nothing to come to the end of it. And Lord, I believe that you've got a purpose for that also. The Father, man is so small and so little. Lord Jesus, help us to see ourselves, how small we are and how little we are, and see how great you are and how big you are, how great you are in all the things that you do. And then, Lord, may our dependency be completely on you. Lord Jesus, you're the only one that knows everything and knows every step that we should take. And may it be our desire to seek that step, Lord, to find that step that you want us to take. And Lord, to be led by the Spirit of God. Lord, that alone is sometimes so simple in the way that it is taken, but Lord, it's so rich. That they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They will be led by the holy word of God. Walk in it, live in it, talk in it. Lord, as a brother brought the song up earlier, Lord, that we cannot walk without you. We can't talk without you. And Lord, furthermore, I don't want to. I don't want to do anything without you. I pray, Lord, that you continue to deal with our hearts here in this little place. May you draw us, Lord, to that place that you want us to be in. And, oh God, forgive us of our sins and iniquities. Forgive us, Lord, of anything in our life that may be contrary to your great will. But please, Lord, may your mercy and grace reveal to us anything that would be, not just the way you want, that, Lord, we'd have the opportunity by grace, mercy, and through the word of God to overcome it. So we pray now, Lord, you'd help each one of us that we would commit ourselves unto you. Amen. And lead us, Lord, into all truth and righteousness. Thank you again for this meeting, Lord, and the service that we could be here and be gathered around thy precious word. May each one of us take that portion that, Father, we have need of and apply it to our life completely. We thank you again for all things, and we appreciate you. We thank you for your mercy and grace and your love for us. In your holy name we pray, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Isn't his love really high?
Amen.
And really deep? Amen. I'm so appreciative of him. Amen. Just to give you enough time, Brother Timothy mentioned about a little dinner, not this coming Sunday, but the Sunday after that. And Brother Son will be here, and then we'll have a little dinner after service, Lord willing, and have some fellowship together. It'll be a good time, too, to maybe some of you meet Sister Esther a little more and talk with her and so forth. So it's just ask God to have his way in that. Amen. I love him. And I just wanted to mention, Brother Geisinger, bless his heart, he gave us the money to buy a new furnace. And we appreciate that. Hopefully he'll get this little message and listen to it and hear me tell him that I appreciate it. I love him, and I'm sure every one of us love him.
Amen.
And uphold him constantly in prayer. And I'd love to see God move him out of that little place and
Amen.
Give him health and strength to be on his own. He said, oh, it's impossible. No, it ain't impossible. No way is it impossible. God is the great physician,
Amen.
You see. And like I say, if you sit there or stand there and think, oh, that's impossible, and I just don't think it's going to happen, well, then
right.
Don't waste your words praying. For the prayers of a righteous man avail much.
Amen.
Amen. God will listen.
Amen.
And whatever his will is, he will do.
Yes.
You see, regardless of what we think about it. So we pray God will bless him and encourage him and strengthen him. I couldn't imagine that, to sit in that room as much as he has to. And be in that building around people that's constantly hurting and pain from pain and pain and agony. And it just be a terrible place to be. You know, I pray God will bless him, encourage him, and strengthen him. Amen. So we appreciate him doing that. May God richly bless him until I can turn him to his face. I appreciate it. All right. May the Lord richly bless you, protect you, keep you,
Amen.
And keep you in his care and his love. Wherever you go, whatever you do, may his will be done in our lives. God bless you. You're dismissed.